adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Loveline with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician, addiction medicine, blah, blah, blah. Jack Osborne here tonight.
Howdy.
No applause? Who's our engineer tonight?
There we go. There we go. Let's try it again. Jack Osborne joining us on the show tonight. Welcome, Jack.
Woo!
Wow, that's a small bird one.
It's that 1, 2, 3, everybody.
Always good to see Jack Osborne. And Andy Richter, theoretically, is coming in tonight, but we're not so sure about that because he's not here yet. But you know Andy, he's probably doing him like a line off a hooker's ass. He's probably out of control. Maybe he's in some drunk tank somewhere. That guy's out of control, Drew. And I know his publicist asked us not to speak about that. And I know he has a problem, and I know it's private. And but, Drew, the kid's out of control. And this is kind of the nature of this show, is it not, Drew?
How's that?
Well, we speak openly and truthfully
about
people.
Anything.
Yeah, and I mean, if you're, you know, an Osborne, that's cool because whatever, you found Jesus early, you stuck to the straight and narrow, you carved a life out for yourself that's it's beyond reproach. But we're not supposed to talk about the Andy Richters of the world, and the kid's got a problem. And
he's a wild man.
Well, you said he was out of control on the set. I suspect tonight is just more of his hijinks, probably a heroin fueled hijinks. Yes,
yeah, no doubt.
Okay, all right.
We're not broadcasting it, are we? Can we start the show?
I just think we should talk about it. That's all I'm saying.
Andy, is this
Jack? I know you've never dabbled yourself, but surely you have empathy for those who are sort of a slave to substances. Yes,
of course.
I mean, you can. You could empathize.
Yeah, there's a bit of empathy.
Yeah, you don't have to be one yourself to understand that pain in others. It's like I've never given birth, but when I see the look on a woman's face when she's trying to squeeze out those triplets, I have empathy. I
usually
can feel
start
it.
Laughing. What are you talking about?
No, I feel it. I can feel it. It's just confusing because there's a vagina, and it's like I feel like I should be masturbating. That's all. It's very confusing.
But I think at that point it doesn't look too friendly.
I know that's a confusing part. Jack stars opposite Dr. Drew.
No, he doesn't star opposite me. We both have similar roles.
Stars opposite Dr. Drew in New York Minute, which is, of course, the new Olsen Twins movie, which is coming out this Friday, everybody. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if it's a good omen, but I think the Mean Girls movie did pretty well.
I saw the movie tonight.
We saw it.
And Tina Fey's a little bit of a genius. So well written.
Yeah, Tina Fey's Woo! Smart. Yeah, Tina Fey was on here on the show a week or so ago.
And she has a substantial role.
And Tim Meadows, by the way.
And he does, too, by the way, a substantial role, which they do excellent job in. And then just a genius writing job in this. And she's so humble.
Yeah. You know, I mean, she was in my presence. But she did a great job of writing it.
Oh,
and but the point is I think that the movie may have been number one last week.
Yeah, it's a good sign.
Yeah, it's geared at girls. It's geared at teens. This is a movie, the New York Minute, Olsen Twins, a lot of buzz. Could be the same type of audience. Good sign. Yeah, Drew's keeping his fingers crossed. Why? You're not getting... Wait, I don't want to interview Drew. Jack, you guys don't get paid anymore if it does well, do you?
I don't think so.
It's nice to be part of something that's successful that you've been supporting. And,
yeah. All right. All right, but if that was true, when you've gotten out of here years ago, Drew?
If I were part of something...
If it was nice to be part of something successful.
Oh, I see, yes, so there is that point.
So, Jack, Osborne's Tuesday nights, 9:30 on MTV, and still scouting bands. How's the label doing? Not scouting bands.
No, not anymore.
All right, well, I'll cross that out. So what does occupy the lion's share of your time beside the Osbornes? Do you need anything else?
I do a TV show I do in England. That's my main thing I do now. I film like 2 months out of the year, though, so...
You go over there for 2 months straight?
No, we film it here. But
you film it here?
Hopefully, if all goes to plan, I'm going to be just traveling through Europe for 2 months and doing it.
And what is it?
It's kind of like a off-the-wall... The only thing I can really compare it to is some kind of variety show. It's nothing like the Nick and Jessica variety hour or whatever that is.
Right.
It's more like there's interview. We interview celebrities. There's like red carpet things. We do skits.
Right.
We just do. It's really just up in the air.
Is it an hour long?
Half hour.
Do you find? Well, a couple of things. Are they a little more flexible over there in terms of format? Like, can do things a little more experimentally?
Yeah, definitely.
And also, does the Osborne, not the, you know, Osborne name is big enough here, but do you have even more cachet in England?
It's pretty big in England.
He was telling me it was huge in Germany.
In Germany, it's like,
oh really?
The second coming of Christ. It's like Jim Caviezel.
Do they dub it? Do they translate it? Do they use subtitles?
I think sometimes they dub it, and then sometimes they just, it's in English, and they just have subtitles.
Have you? It'd be nice to meet your dubbing guy. You know what I mean?
Who your voice is?
Yeah, your voice.
He's just in.
Yeah. I always think Germans are so smart, they all speak English.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, they all do.
I think they do it just out of guilt.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. That's right. Learn it. Yeah, I got my brother-in-law's German. His English is fine. But not a proud man. He borrows my tennis shoes when he plays basketball. Yeah.
And your house when you use a place to flop.
Yeah. Someone had to explain to him that that's we don't do that here. We don't crap in another man's shoes, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's kind of weird, too, because it's not like trying on a guy's sunglasses. You're playing 6-7 games of hoop out in the valley in a man's high tops. They're yours after that, you know what I mean? They're no longer his. They're yours.
Drew?
Yeah.
I have a real weird foot thing. So
you do?
If anyone wears my shoes, I'm like, mm-mm. Oh. No.
Yeah. It's one thing if they're running out to grab the newspaper. It's another thing they're playing 6-8 games of hard 3-on-3 out on the blue top of North Hollywood.
It's so
there.
Nice and cool out here lately. I mean,
Jesus Christ. I'm going to...
Brutal.
It's
punishing.
It's punishing. It's like God is punishing us somehow. What did we do wrong?
I love it.
You like this?
Oh, I can't get enough of it.
What?
Really?
England. Think England, you know.
It's wet and cold.
Wet and cold, and I grew up with most of that most of my life. This is just like...
You like the desert stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you get in the pool?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I've come to decide... I figured out if you got a pool nearby, it's all right.
It's better.
You jump in and jump out of there a lot. All right. Let's... plus, what do you live in it? You like the Bat Cave? I imagine it doesn't get light in your room until like 4 in the afternoon.
Yeah,
the air's just blowing the whole time.
My air conditioner's broken right now.
Ooh.
So it's pretty painful, but I've just, the shades are drawn.
Yeah.
The lights are off.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. Jack's room is, I wouldn't call it gothy, but it does have not goth like as you know it from Columbine, but it has a sort of gothic architecture to it. Dark, lots of dark colors.
And crosses
and things. It's not, it doesn't look like a douche commercial should be filmed in there. It's not breezy and light and airy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
It's sleeping. That's one thing. I'm not into the goth thing, but one thing those people know is they know how to make a domicile to sleep in.
Mm-hmm.
And everything's dark and black. And
it's actually supposed to be a tomb.
It is.
I call it the black hole.
There you go.
Yeah. That's your room, right? It's black. It's
black.
So it looks like maybe you should, like, maybe you'd film a snuff film there or something, like, and then take a huge nap. And you don't know, you wouldn't know if it was 8 in the morning or 4 in the afternoon or high noon.
Wouldn't that be great?
Yeah, just cold and dark.
I sleep in there. I'm surprised at how deep I sleep in that room. I'm like, oh, wow, what's 5 in the afternoon?
Yeah, you know, some of that could have been the drugs, but...
Probably.
You know, here's the thing, too, Drew. I'll tell you. I don't have kids, but when I do... See, let me tell you something. Jack was too comfortable. I was never comfortable.
In your room?
My room. I had a crappy bed. The washing machine was in there. The hot water heater was in there. There was no curtains on the thing. It was, like, hot. It was noisy. You'd wake up at 7 and you'd try to sleep a little more, but you're uncomfortable enough to get out. Get up and get out. We got, like, the down comforter with the 2,400 thread count and, you know, the air conditioning and all the whole thing and the soundproofing. It's easy just to keep going. It's like when you stay at a really nice 4-star hotel.
Yeah.
And they put the blackout drapes on, and you're very comfortable in the do not disturb thing. You can go all day.
Yeah.
See, Drew, here's what I'm saying with your kids.
Don't worry.
Jack missed out on high school because he was too goddamn comfortable. he slept until noon every day. He couldn't get up. Your kids, put them on like an army cot.
Make them sleep on nails.
Well, I'm just saying, don't overdo it. But have that black guy with the trash can and a wooden spoon like come through and they're, come on, maggots! Start screaming, throwing a trash can around. You need a DI, like just a black drill instructor just comes in there every morning at 6:45 and starts calling everyone maggot and yelling, their last easy day was yesterday. Getting up, get right in your kid's face. Don't you eyeball me, bitch! You know, just nose pressed right up against your son's. You eyeball me, boy! Just freaking on your kid. He'd be so freaked out, he'd probably get up at like 5 because he didn't want that guy, the strange black guy with the weird hat with the crease in his grill at 6 a.m. Give me your mother effing shoot! Yeah? Where's that homework? Don't eyeball me, son! Yeah, just gonna have to keep looking down.
You do it.
I could do it.
Yeah.
Put a little shoe polish on my face.
Oh, jeez.
Well, it's important. It's important to work the ethnic thing.
Is it?
Yeah. Give me your shoes! Ann?
Yes?
You're 19?
Yes.
What's happening, baby doll?
What?
What's doing?
Right now, I'm talking to you guys and sitting in my car in a park just rattling my brain.
All right. Well, I guess she could have included the very last 3 words of that sentence, technically, so she didn't...
Just rattling my brain.
Well, yeah, could have repeated that. Annie, or Ann?
Yes.
All right, what's your question?
I just want to know why girls do so many stupid things just to get a guy's attention. You know, why do women have to feel like they need a man standing by them, holding their hand constantly to feel like they exist?
Well, you're asking 3 men for that to answer that question, or yes. There's even 4 of us in the room.
Well,
here.
3.5 with Chris. Yeah.
And I wonder that all the time, and women don't seem to be able to answer that because it does not make any sense to men that you should be that way.
Doesn't it go back to like genetics, like pre-man?
It must be some sort of early evolutionary impulse.
Because this is what I was told, is the fact that once we came out of the trees, like the youngs, like the mother had to hold it all the time, so there needed to be a man or like some male
to protect them,
mm-hmm. from any outside mm-hmm. things.
So there is some of that, but you know, it seems like there should be some ability to override that with intellect and cognitive function, and people should be able to go, all right, I have that priority, I have that impulse, but I don't have to do that.
Yeah,
I can choose other things.
Well, there's certainly some women need it more than others.
Yeah.
You know, in a way, I hate to say this, but we've talked about this a few times. You kind of, if you had a daughter, you'd kind of like her to be borderline homely so she could get on with her life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at 19, she'd be going to college and just thinking about whatever her major was going to be and getting into grad school or something, and not that sort of preoccupation. Like, if you're a 7 or better, it's just going to consume your, make it a 5 or better, it's just going to consume your life. There's too much out there. And by the way, it keeps getting younger and it keeps getting worse.
Mm.
I blame those Olsen twins you two insist on working with. Ann?
Yes?
All right.
So what happened? What'd you do?
Well, it's like this, okay? I have been screwed over by men so many times, so many bad experiences. Well, not too many, just 2 really bad experiences.
Mm-hmm.
And then the guy I'm dating now just seems really, really perfect, like a really great guy. And I seem really clingy, and he's telling me, hey, I want to see you, but I don't want to be around you every single day. But mm-hmm. I don't listen. It's usually right. My way. I'm spoiled. I'm a brat, and I always want to be around him. Well, he got kind of mad because I was being like that, so I was mad right back, and my ex-boyfriend came into town, and so I went up to Reno on Saturday and married him.
What?
And your ex-boyfriend.
Yes, and my mm-hmm. boyfriend now, not my husband, my boyfriend doesn't know this, and I don't want to be married to my husband. All I want is
Does your husband know you don't want to be married?
No.
All right, well, if he finds you with your, quote, boyfriend, he will probably kill your boyfriend.
What? Wait a minute, you got married on Saturday, and he did what the next day?
He is on deployment today. He had to go back to San Diego for deployment for 2 weeks.
Hold on.
He's in the military, so.
Yeah, I'm hip.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's interesting how the abused becomes the abusor. You know, she feels abused, and now she's going to abuse some men right back.
Yeah, this guy's probably back at Camp Pendleton showing pictures of you to his bunk buddies going, oh, look at her. Yep, that's my girl. We just got married. She's waiting for me.
Meanwhile, you know, he might go down a hail of gunfire because, you know, he's going to go break his heart.
Well, forget break his heart. If he finds out what's going on here, he's going to kill the boyfriend.
All right.
And
so
he knows how to use a gun, too.
Yeah.
And here's the deal. You need to have the marriage annulled with this guy, just A, number one, because you don't care about him.
Right?
Right. I mean, I care about him as a friend, but that's it. I've known him for, like, 7 years.
Okay. And number two, you need to get some therapy and work out a few of your problems before you're moving forward at breakneck speed into these relationships. Meanwhile, you have the mentality of an 11-year-old with a set of jugs.
Right.
And that's going to get you into trouble and get people around you into trouble.
Interesting you would say 11-year-old. She feels like an 11-year-old without parents, like nobody to contain her or guide her. She's completely acting out.
What's up? Where's your dad?
My dad he lives here.
What happened with that relationship? How did that go bad?
My dad loves me. He loves my son, but, you know.
Your son.
Both my parents are alcoholics and divorced.
There we go.
Give me your mother effing shoot! You see what would have happened?
Yeah.
Right in the face? Here's the other one I'm going to yell at your kid. After I yell, don't eyeball. And I keep yelling, don't eyeball me, boy.
Good, I like that.
Don't eyeball me, son. Don't eyeball me, boy. All I call him is boy and son. And then I yell, you got English homework? And he's like, yes, sir. And I'm like, don't eyeball me, son. And then he goes, yes, sir. And then I yell this one. I go, you will address me in a clear and present tone. Not the force you used to con drug money off of your liberal parents. And I just start screaming at him. And I hit him with my hat. Now, I don't actually ever hit him with a fist. I have my hat.
You gotta, like, make him choke himself, like, in
choke yourself.
Get on your knees. Choke yourself in my hand.
That's right. Fall forward, yeah. I hold my hand out, and the kid just falls forward. That way, I didn't do anything.
Get on your knees, scumbag!
There we go.
And it's a total mess, but this is almost like criminal behavior, really.
Can you give the kid up for adoption so they have some chance at some life?
My son is 4.
Oh, my God.
If I gave him up for adoption now, he would be
You're right.
forever.
You're right.
Though. Yeah, I know. But
I take care of him really well.
I know. I'm sure, Ann.
I can
see
you as being a model parent.
Perfect.
Oh, this kid's
going to
be president.
Where is his dad? Great question.
His father?
Yeah.
My son was conceived through rape, so.
Whoa.
So you were 15 when you got raped?
I got raped the day after my 15th birthday.
Well, rape at 15 usually means sexual abuse in childhood. Well,
who raped you? And by the way, what kind of present is that? I don't know if it was connected to the birthday, but if this is your idea of a, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's not too.
Yeah, like you want to go out and wax a car, give me a back rub. That's something else.
What was that, Ann, you were saying?
Oh, I was just saying, you know, I take good care of my son, and his father isn't around, of course.
Listen, Andrew, we can't. Look, baby, please stop acting out on behalf of your child. And let me tell you something, all you imbeciles out there with the, you know, I smoke a little crack and I turn a trick or two, but I'm the world's greatest fill in the blank. Mom, dad, uncle, whatever.
Citizen.
Stop it.
Yeah.
No, you're not. You're not. You're not leading this crazy, effed up, chaotic life. Oh, and I take great. As a matter of fact, you know, it's ironic, is the parents that actually do a good job are the ones that are constantly worried that they're not doing a good enough job.
Yeah.
And the ones that are horrible parents are the ones that, you know, shout from the highest mountain
what
that, oh, no,
are.
I'm a great, no, my kid doesn't, no, man, I'll always close the door. You know what
Jack,
I mean? Like,
imagine having a kid at 15.
Oh.
Just imagine. What would you have done to that child?
I'd have blown some pot in his face like I did my dog. I'd be like,
yeah, get him stoned. Yeah, you get your cat stoned, yeah. Sure.
Wait, do you think, it sounds like this girl might need some ACA or something.
She does. It's certainly going to Alateen. She's a teenager, or adult children of alcoholics. Al-Anon, that would be a great place to start. But boy, this is quite a project.
All right, but listen, and start there. Just go to...
Get a sponsor, work the steps. If you can find some sort of spiritual solution to your problems, maybe you'll let go of what you're dealing with. Otherwise, really, it's, you know, I really refer her to the church.
Larry? Yeah.
Yeah.
You're 21.
Yep.
All right. Let's see.
He's an auctioneer. That's
right. Yeah. I was going to guess what you did. Auctioneer or maybe, mobile DJ.
Yeah, yeah.
What?
Weddings and bar mitzvahs.
Yeah, what do you do for a living?
Kind of a housewife right now.
What?
All right.
Housewife?
He's a housewife.
What's up?
My girlfriend works. I stay home and take care of the kid.
All right. What's up?
First off, Bam, Ryan, huge fans of CKY and everything before Jackass and all that.
All right. They were on
last week,
Thursday. Yeah. Well, I think you're hearing the show on a delay. But that's all right. You know, we got Jack Osborne here tonight.
All right. I'm completely on the wrong day.
Well, that's all right. We got Jack Osborne here tonight.
All right, Jack.
There you go.
There you go. True. What are we like? 0 for 3,500 on that day. Oh, hey, who's on the show tonight, Jack? All right. Yeah. Just go like, oh, cool. Yeah, I like the Osbournes. Anyway, the show. And so it's
no,
so,
never, never.
They'll never. They either, never give
either,
it up.
Either it's outrage, disappointment, or blank.
Well, you either get blank or you get, I don't know, I'm not a big fan, I've never heard of.
Yeah.
It's a weird thing, it's like, that part of life, like where people introduce you to somebody you swear you've never met before, and then the person goes to you, oh yeah, we met before, remember we met over at Sheila's party, and you go, hey, yeah, it's good, how you doing there, Mark?
You don't go.
You go. No, who are you? No. I have never met you. Please, why are you touching my hand? Stop touching my hand. Right, no, you just go like, hey, buddy, how you doing? Yeah, it's good to see you again.
How many times a day do we do that?
Yeah, I might even toss in, hey, your skin's cleared up. Or, toss something in. You lost. Yeah, well, you dropped a couple pounds, didn't you? You're looking good. What do you work? You must be working out. You look good. Whatever it is, you look great.
Did you get breast implants?
Yeah. Yeah, like a crack lift or something. Something better about your ass. I don't know what it is. But no, our fathers are like, no.
Huh?
All right, but Larry's back on board, right, Larry?
Yeah, I'm here.
Jack Osborne in the studio tonight.
Yeah, Jack.
Woo!
Yeah. All right. What's your question? Okay.
All right, well, I've been dating this girl for about 3 years, and I'm getting ready to propose to her and everything. Mm-hmm. And we have a son. He's 2 months old. And, well, just recently, within the past couple weeks, she's just become this big freak in bed.
What does that mean? Oh.
Like, before, it was like, she's always been, like, the good girl, kind of, you know, blonde hair, blue eyes kind of thing. And suddenly, it's like, she wants me to be real rough and, like, spank her and just yell out stuff during sex. And I just have no idea where it came from and whether
Why
I just...
Why are you complaining?
Yeah.
I'm not complaining, but...
It was always there. It's just finally she's showing it to you.
Well, you got
to
figure, too. She's had a baby inside of her for 9 months and, you know, probably she was like, okay, must get crazy now.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe she's doing a little celebrating. But are you thinking that there's a problem? Are you thinking... Because you've listened to this show before, that maybe there's some issues that are unresolved from the past?
I don't think there's any issues or anything. It's just...
The answer is no. Here's the deal.
Right. Oh, okay.
Let me just finish for our other callers, for other people, that it may be that she's had some physical abuse or some things that whereby she has difficulty feeling sexual or feeling aroused unless she feels naughty or bad or highly, highly aroused with sort of physical stimulation. That's fine if she can show that to you. It's actually kind of good because it allows her to take those parts of herself that she considers bad and sort of integrate them with a good person and a good relationship. On the other hand, if it becomes a focus of your sexual relationship where it sort of detracts from any other intimacy, it can sort of overwhelm it and become a fetish and be a problem.
I know what it is. She was a porn star. That's what it is.
All porn stars like that?
I don't know. She was a porn star, right?
Jack, what are you doing? Are you dating somebody?
No.
No?
No, I have a problem with commitment.
You do? Yeah. Oh, what are you now? 18, 19? 18.
Yeah, I'm like ADD boy. I'm like, ooh, shiny, you know?
Oh, really? So I guess you could do that. You can just announce that actually, it's probably smart. So you can screw around with chicks, have a good time, but you kind of announce up front, hey, I'm Jack Osborne. I don't do this.
You know what it is? It's like I'm really about any endeavor, whether it's like, hey, I'm going out, you know, let's go get coffee, or hey, you know, whatever comes of it, I'm always like completely honest. Hey, you know what, I'm not looking for a relationship. Let's, you know, let's have fun regardless of what happens.
Sucks it, man. Smart. All right.
I'll change him. I'll change him.
I'm not looking for a BJ and possibly an index finger in the tukai. I want to be up front with you. No woman has ever been able to do this to me, not on the first date, so don't even think about it. All right, we'll take a quick break. Jack Osborne here today. Not looking for a relationship, girl. Start lining up. We'll be back after this. Yo, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Jack Osborne in studio tonight. Dear, dear friend of the show, Jack Osborne, and acting partner of Dr. Drew. They
partner, yeah, we were
they
partners.
Star opposite each other.
Star
on
opposite.
New
yeah,
York
exactly.
Minute. Which
people
are going to
be sorely disappointed when they see our starring roles.
Yeah, well, you're in it, and they'll get a kick out of that. And here's the thing. And Jack, I don't know what Jack's part is. What's Jack's part? Drew plays the Olsen twins' dad, which even if you're in the movie for a millisecond, you're still playing their dad.
That's a cool thing, yeah.
So that's a cool thing. And Jack?
I play Justin, who is the manager of Mary-Kate's band.
Ah, well,
the whole story is a there. Yes, and mine was a stretch too. You know, mm-hmm. You'll note.
Yeah, it was deep.
Mary Kate is the
she's the bad twin. The
she's
the
bad twin.
Yeah.
She wants to rock and roll.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
You know what you find out though with the bad twins, they ain't that bad. Like I could tell you bad.
I hear Andy.
But yeah, I hear a guy out there too. We don't know what happened to Andy Richter, but maybe he's here. Here's the thing, Drew, over here, buddy. Show's over here, buddy.
Coming you're over here. Right I hear now. The show in my ears.
Yeah, I'm over here.
Yeah, okay.
Over here. Eyes, baby, eyes. Jack?
Are you eyeballing me, boy?
Same thing, boy. Eyeball? Okay.
Okay.
Right here. Right here.
Looking at you.
They do this all the time where there's the naughty twin, yeah. And then there's a sort of studious one. And the studious one's always very studious. And then the naughty twin smoked part of a cigarette at a party and actually made out with a guy. Of course, he didn't go up or top or anything that. Now, the reality is show me a naughty 19-year-old girl. I'll show you one pulling a train. You know what I mean?
I was just going to revert it back to a porno. Like, there's the twins, you know?
There's a couple guys going at them, and they're videotaping it, and she's pretty coked up.
This is about an obsessive-compulsive academic hyperachiever versus a truant twin.
Right. The bad only gets so bad.
They're both extremes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like every once in a while in the sitcom world,
both virgins.
When there's a very special episode, oh yeah, somebody gets strung out on something, but it's diet pills.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Right. The bad one gets hooked on diet pills. All I know is it made me feel better and I could study longer. You know, like, all right, come on. Don't you have the guts to really get into some drugs here?
Yeah.
Can someone just huff a little copier toner or something?
Can you be shooting up in your eye?
Diet pills. Yeah, and then they immediately, as soon as they find out it was bad, that's it. They're done.
Oh,
and there's no never
cured.
There's no relapses. Yeah. It's never the second very special episode where they picked up the diet pills again.
Yeah. Never. Well, it's really just they've seen the light. They realize it's a bad thing.
Yeah. And once in a while there's a little eating disorder thing too, but it never flourishes, and here's the thing, and it's a horrible message, and I don't have to say this to Jack and Drew and Jack, but somehow once people realize something is bad, okay, well that's it.
Right.
That's enough of that.
Unfortunately, that's what people believe about all kinds of behavioral disturbances. So, therefore, my job in terms of treating addiction should just be to convince people that they're doing the wrong thing.
Right.
That'd be so easy. They know they're doing the wrong thing. They're begging for help. They can't stop.
Well, the other thing, too, is by inference, it makes the person a bad person.
Right.
Because, well, you realize you're doing something wrong, yet you keep doing it.
Yeah. What's wrong with you?
I saw the episode Step by Step. She realized she was doing something wrong. She stopped.
Yeah.
You didn't stop. You kept going.
Because you're bad. Something wrong
with you. You're bad. Yeah, right.
Weak.
All right. Speaking of bad and weak, we have a question for Jack. Who's you eyeballing me, son?
I am.
Uh-oh. Katie?
Hey.
You're 17. What's up?
I just really wanted to tell Jack how much I respect him for his, you know, integrity with quitting drugs and all that. I just have so much respect for you. I can't honestly say that I love you because I've never met you, but you seem like a really awesome guy, and I wish you did live near me because I'd ask you out.
She's in Seattle. Well, let me Jack tell you something. Awesome, he's a lone wolf. You can borrow Jack, but you can't keep him. You know what I'm saying? Because he's got to ramble. He's a rambling man. He's got to ramble back to the mansion.
Wherever he lays his hat.
That's his home. That's right.
I have so much respect for you, and I have to say this. I'm just driven. You are so incredibly hot. I love your look because, you know, you're
original. Go see him in the movie.
Exactly.
Go see him in New York because you don't. She loves your look because you don't care.
Exactly.
Diet, exercise. You don't care. You're lazy.
You'll be 80 feet of Jack in this film.
Yeah. All right there, Katie. You go see.
Thank you very much, Katie.
Bigger than life, Jack. And remember, he's a rambling man. He can't stay. He wishes he could stay, but he's come noon, 12:30 or 1 o'clock, he's got to put his boots on and ramble again. He doesn't ramble at first light like a lot of guys who ramble. He likes to sleep in and ramble.
Sleep in.
His thing is I'll be sleep. Rambling time, about 2 p.m.
When I'm waking up, it's time for
I'm going to wake up.
How do you feel when people say, what did you say, respect what you've done, this kind of thing?
It's weird. It's like I'm very weird with compliments. It's like I'm like thank you. It's kind of.
What do you feel is admirable about?
I don't know. It's just. I mean, I don't. I didn't look at it to get admiration from people.
But if somebody were to look at you for hope people would admire what you've been able to accomplish?
I've never really looked at it like that. Mm. I mean.
Well, do it right now, Jack. for 1 minute.
You out all dress up.
It's a really weird thing that, you know, to have people come up, you know, like, I got lots of letters when I got out, you know. You inspired me to, you know, change something in my life. You know, I admire what you've done with, you know, how you've taken care of yourself. And it's moving. It is. Because it's like, people actually kind of, you know, do care and they do pay attention, they do follow you, and it's moving.
Well, it does set a precedent, right? Mm-hmm. For people who know you in the media and here they watch what you go through and they appreciate it.
You know, and I always think it's nice. You know, here's the thing, and we're keeping our fingers crossed that you can stay at the program for a very long time. Yes, Drew? I am.
That you'll stay with the program?
No, I'm Jack.
That Jack will stay with the program.
I don't have a problem. I take a little medicine to help me get to sleep at night. That's all.
A bottle of wine.
That's all.
A little southern sipping whiskey.
I like the little sipping whiskeys. I call it my medicine. But here's my point.
Red wine medicine.
Here's my point. You know, so many people waste so many years with this stuff. Mm-hmm. Tons of money. It takes its toll on your health, obviously. But, you know, some people have 20 years of this, and some people never get out of it. But I mean, what I mean is a lot of people get started with stuff 15, 16 years old, and now 20 years later, they're 35, couple divorces, they got a kid, teenage kid who's not talking to them, their liver looks like hell, they've shot their wad financially, and now they're ready to get some help. Meanwhile, the last 20 years has just been a blur of sort of flying pans and blowouts with the old lady and getting canned from jobs. It's kind of nice that Jack has taken that 20 years, condensed it into high school, essentially. Is now 18, sober, and ready to face the world.
I was actually talking about this with some buddies of mine. They got sober when they were 17. They're now in their 30s. You know, they've
stayed sober.
Stayed sober the whole time.
Nice.
And I was talking about it, and they were like, you know, you may not appreciate it now, but they're like, they're so grateful and thankful that they got sober when they did. It's because they're not going to wake up when they're 35 not know who they are.
Right. Yeah. And listen, if you're getting effed up every day for 20 years, that 20 years goes down in your memory as just you getting effed up a handful of times. You don't remember half you're effed up every occasion, weddings and funerals and whatever.
You're not growing.
Right.
You're not progressing. Is there anything, you don't have to answer stuff you don't want to, but anything about that you have to offer other people of your peer age that can help them get it, be willing?
It comes down to if you really want it and if you want it bad enough.
But is there any way to get people to that point?
You just kind of, you have to go to that place. That's the only thing I've really picked up is that people that don't go to that place where that dark, just horrible, you know, they hate who they are as people. You know, if it's a kid having fun, going to parties, taking acid, all that, you know, and everything's great, but his mom and dad are worried and, you know, you're out of hand.
He's not going to stop.
He's not going to stop because he hasn't presented itself as a problem yet.
Well, it's good that you were able to get to that so fast. And, I mean, not exactly a mitzvah, as the Jews would say, but the fact is the problem came on, you handled it in a relative short period of time, and now you're 18, you can get on with your life. Sydney?
Yeah?
You're 15?
Yeah.
You see, your mom wants to send you to a shrink.
Yeah.
Why?
She just thinks that I'm not living up to my potential, Sydney.
That's it? That you're not cutting or...
No, I'm not.
All right, so no eating disorders, no cutting, no drugs.
Right.
No, your grades are okay, you're not dropping out of school? Not...
Well, I used to get straight A's and now I'm not getting straight A's.
Well, that's a sign. That's a sign that you should see somebody.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is one of the strongest signs.
Really? Grades dropping?
Sudden grade drops. Particularly a kid that was doing well suddenly is not doing well.
Really?
Yeah.
What happened? Why aren't you doing well?
I don't know. I don't feel compelled to.
All right.
I don't know.
Well, listen, why don't you do it? Who cares?
It's fun. I've been going to therapy since I was 12.
Yeah.
No, seriously, it's awesome. You just can sit there and... just let it all out to someone, and they give you solutions to your problem, and it's...
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Just, I don't know, go and see.
You think that's part of the reason you were able to make change?
Just getting a solution to my problem?
Well, no, having trusted a process, or being connected to a process.
You had a little foundation of therapy.
Yeah.
Hey, here's the thing, Sydney.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it has a little stigma. Probably shouldn't these days. Certainly out in California, there's a stigma of not going to therapists.
I find it bizarre that people would consider it outlandish not to see a heart doctor if you have a heart problem, not to see a lung doctor if you have a lung problem.
Right.
But when you have a brain issue, well, we're not going to talk about that. That we don't deal with.
Well, there's a perceived weakness. And let's face it, that's in that people become stigmatized and people think they're going to get on medications that they don't want to take and so on and so forth. And then a lot of it is just they don't like the idea of somebody telling them to go. When it's your idea, it seems much easier. But, Sydney, go ahead and let your parents pay for it. What the hell?
Makes
them happy and you can get something out of it.
It's a mitzvah, is that
what it says?
Yeah. It's what we call win-win.
I'll go. I don't mind going, but it's...
All right, thank you. She doesn't mind going. She's going to go. We got to go, too. I know she had more to say, but that seemed like enough. Just go. All right. Andy Richter's on the phone.
Where is he?
Now we got to go to break.
He forgot.
But, Andy, are you there?
Yeah. I'm here, and I'm retarded.
What happened, buddy?
Get this. I forgot.
Well, I'm glad we mean that much to you, Andy.
Oh, I'm...
And let me say this, son.
You can't be that far away.
No, you're not that far away. And here's the thing. This is. I am, like, such a retard and need to be led around so much that I should never have said... Because they said, do we need to send a car for you? Couldn't you drive yourself? And old humble me, I say, oh, no, I'll drive myself. Don't worry about it. And then I'm home, and my wife's been sick, so she went to bed earlier. She might have reminded me.
Yeah, I do blame her.
No. And that's not what I'm saying. But anyway.
But listen, Andy, you live in town, right?
I do.
Now, you don't have to come tonight, because it's late, and by the time, you get out of your
pajamas,
underoos, and into your street clothes and everything, we'll be wrapping it up.
And Jack, we're having a good time with Jack.
We're having a good time with Jack. Jack's really...
Like, he's, what, another hour?
He's two guests, quite frankly. But how about you come in? Yeah, we're on for another hour. But honestly, we start packing it in about 11 on this show. I mean, we start winding down.
Right.
Yeah, because I don't want to get home and be too whipped up.
Right.
I mean, I like
True, and I like
to go to bed when we get home. So we start sort of internally winding the show down about 11, an hour before we go off the air. How about
this is the climax, really.
Yeah, we're going to hit the crescendo in about 8 minutes, and then the last hour again is what we call refractory or cool down period.
Right. It's a refractory
period. Sort of a thanks for the memories.
Right.
For an hour.
But what you can do is you can come in here next Sunday, for instance.
And we can talk about the big release and how the film is done over the weekend.
That's right.
All right. No, that one. No, I mean, I would say absolutely, but the only thing is that's Mother's Day.
Oh yeah, but you're not swinging with your mom till 10 o'clock at night, are you?
Yeah, but what about the mother of my child?
Yeah, you see, here's my point. I don't think a guy can celebrate with five broads. You know, you got her. No, everyone picks their mom and goes their separate ways. That's the way I like to plan.
You get one mom.
Right.
Now, where's your mom? Is she out here?
She's in Illinois.
Oh, good. For a second, I thought she was going to be dead, and that would have been weird.
Yeah, I was like,
no.
All right, she's in Illinois. You can't celebrate with her, but you take your lovely wife out to a nice brunch, right?
Right.
And you cut her loose about noon. She's out. You get her one of those Vermont teddy bears. She's on her own after 2 o'clock.
Wow.
This is
one of the foremost advice shows on the radio.
Yeah, you tell her Drew said if she can't handle a little self-reflection and introspection somewhere about 9 o'clock, she's no woman for you.
No, I'll probably be in there.
Yeah, you'll be freed up. You'll be freed up by 9.
I'll probably be in there. The reason that you're so hard up is because it's Mother's Day, so I'm not like the only one in town who's like,
No.
You know, go on the radio or honor the, you know.
All right, what about Tuesday or Wednesday? Complete. What's that about for Wednesday night? You're going to New York.
Wait, say it again?
Well, listen, just honestly, is your wife there? Can I speak to her?
No, she's upstairs.
She's upstairs, okay. The phone won't make it, or?
Huh?
Upstairs. All right, well, she's upstairs. All right, she wants him back.
The point is, she goes on the radio.
She goes to bed early, Andy.
Well, she's been sick.
I'm saying, Sunday night, you guys would be wrapped up by 5 in the evening, latest.
Right.
Latest. Okay.
We love each other so much that
you'll be sick of each other from all the loving. Yeah, and then you leave here at 9:30. You'll be glad to get out of the house by then.
All right.
All right, we're going to put you on hold. You can talk to producer Ann.
All right.
All settled up.
Fascinating for all the listeners.
It was. And let me say this. Let me say this. Be prepared for 2 hours of this come Sunday night. Talk about Mother's Day, what floor your wife is on. It's going to be huge. All right, so that's what happened to Andy Richter.
There we go.
But that's all right. Because we got Jack Osborne here. And again, we start winding down about 6 minutes anyway.
Yeah.
We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew over there. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Jack Osborne. A real celebrity and a man of his word. He honors his commitments as Jack. Well, like I said earlier, Jack is not a guy that's... don't stop me, by the way. I'll exaggerate here. But I'm guessing he's not so much as tasted a beer in his day.
Oh, never.
And not so much as had a teaspoon of Robitussin in his life. He's very clean. And I don't know what your religion is, but I know I've seen your family. And I know
you're Mormon?
From a very, very tight and very strong, very spiritual upbringing. Anyone who knows Richter... knows this kid's got a problem.
Mm-hmm.
He is out of control. I saw it as early as Conan. I saw it on Andy Richter Controls the Universe. I heard problems, him showing up, him pretty coked up, him pretty loaded, out of control of the women, the violence that then came with the drug abuse. And I don't think I'm telling anyone here anything they haven't already heard or read about in the tabloids.
Yeah.
Richter's out of control. And this was just another case of that. I'm guessing the guy has not put down the crack pipe since, probably picked it up Thursday and has not put it down yet. He's on a bender. He's probably picking at himself right now.
Yeah.
Drew, you know about the paranoid, psychotic delusions that goes on with those drugs.
Just the ability to manage his life. Things are out of control.
He's looking out the window. Mm-hmm. He sees armed uniform officers everywhere. The black helicopters. The guy's paranoid.
Well, I drove past his house, and he was putting up tinfoil on the windows.
Tinfoil on the windows. Mm-hmm. And probably he's going to use some of those to fashion into a crack pipe later on.
Yeah.
It's sad. It's sad because the guy has talent.
Well,
and he has ability. It's just sad.
It's sad.
Let's hope when he comes in here, it'll be a little bit of an intervention. If in fact, he puts
we'll
down
see
the pipe
you know,
and comes
control
in.
Him. Pick him up.
I pray for him.
I do. I do, too. And there's a lot of hosts would be angry, but I have pity for the man. I really do. Because it's a disease.
Of course
it's quite frankly a disease. And, Jack, I don't expect you to know anything about this. You're 18. Like I said, you grew up in a Christian environment. But, Drew, we've seen them come. We've seen them go.
Yeah. It's common. Okay. Common problem.
Very sad.
All right. Go to break.
We're going to break?
You want to take that last question on the bottom, maybe? Very bottom.
All right. It'll be fast. Matt.
Hi, Adam.
You're 16.
Yeah. I just want to say you're a god.
Thank you.
And your question?
I just got a Datsun 510, mm-hmm. and I know you have a couple of those, or a 510.
Mm-hmm.
I just wondering maybe your opinion on how I can get some power out of it.
Mm. All right. Real quick.
Like a car question every once in a while. What do you got, an 1800 cc engine in there?
It's a 1600.
No.
It's a 70.
Ah. Godless. Okay. Yeah, got yeah, they got tons of parts. You can put a little header on there, maybe a cam, and a set of side draft Mikuni 44s or Webers or Solex carbs, something like that. But ultimately, you're going to need to raise the compression a little bit. You want to get some real horsepower out of that. Yeah?
And how's the best way to go about that?
And you got to mill the head a little bit. Or just different pistons. You get pistons with all right. Now we gotta go to break. Yeah, you gotta get the dome type pistons. We raise the compression. Yeah. Yes, Drew.
Yeah,
the flat
I'm
tops,
listening.
You don't get any compression, but you put a little bump on the top.
Interesting.
Yeah, you get into the bottom end and do a little O-ring. All right, we'll be back. Hey, everybody, Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Jack Osborne is in studio tonight. Jack's got new movies doing. Drew,
what's it called?
It's called New York Minute.
Nice.
Now, not only is Jack in this movie, but Ashley and Mary Kate Olsen.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
The Olsen twins. This is their movie.
Nice.
And Eugene Levy's in this movie. And also, that's Jack punching the mic. And you're in this movie.
Yeah, it's true. And
yeah.
Out of control guy, Richter.
Andy Richter.
The flake.
Sad, yeah. He's got I don't know if he's been talking to a sponsor or what the deal is, but he's really, he's got to reconnect. You know, and let me just say this. And if you're listening, there's people out there who care about you a great deal. Okay, man? And if you could just pick up the phone and talk to one of them, I just think it'd be important. Okay?
Reach out, Andy. There's
just
people
reach
like
out,
that.
Right. But you got to make that move, and you got to want it. You all right?
We can't work his program for him, though. We really, you know.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, Adam, I try.
Mm-hmm. All right. Ready to roll?
Yeah.
Let's talk to Lauren.
Adam has a long history of rescuing people.
I do?
That's his thing. Yeah, yeah, it's your thing.
Oh, yeah, that's me. Yeah. Lauren?
Yeah.
You're 19?
Yes, I am.
What's up?
Okay. Just wanted to let you know I am getting off of all my drugs and alcohol from a certain situation. So this is kind of just a question for the future, I guess.
What drugs?
What's that?
What drugs?
Mostly marijuana. But I've also snorted some drugs and done a little bit of opium. Just like nothing really hard, just kind of those kind of things. But the problem is that if you set any kind of drug in front of me, I'd be willing to try it.
Heroin is the flame. Heroin is the fuse. LSD is the bomb.
By the way, you're saying marijuana addicted, using alcohol, snorting stimulants, smoking opium. What would the hard drugs be?
She's tried a few.
I mean, like coke or heroin. I don't do anything.
Opium and heroin, the same thing.
Yeah. Mm. Hate to inform you.
All right, so look, Lauren. Here's the thing. We won't. I won't label you a addict just yet. Are you able not to do drugs?
Well, right now I'm going to like AA and.
All right.
I'm just starting out there, and I'm going to kind of take it as it comes. It's not easy right now.
I think you need. By the way, you say you have difficulty not doing drugs that are put before you. You need to maybe start hanging out with a different group.
I know.
Well, yeah.
What's inspired you to stop all of a sudden? Has something happened?
I was fired from my last job due to an unpleasant circumstance, and my parents kind of went ape, and just kind of.
We can't say the S word on the air. Ever since the FCC cracked down, we can't
we
say
stop letting the S word,
the
F-bomb.
Word, and the S bomb. Parents went ape S. Nice. That should be acceptable if it's done in a sort of colorful colloquialism. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Is it animals involved?
Yeah, it's like, look, I took a big steaming ass. Fine. But if you say, look, listen, don't this guy look like he was going to ass a cue ball or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah. if it's guy, you know, costly, you ass.
Yeah, that's my point is if it can be sort of creatively displayed, I would let it slide.
Colorful. It needs to be colorful.
So, yeah, like ass on a shingle, if you're talking about this army
food.
Did
you guys get, like, the full sit-down and, like, guys, you know, you can't be doing this anymore, you can't be doing
we
that?
We first got you can't do anything.
Right.
First got you got.
Well,
think
that's
Pope.
How Drew interpreted it.
No, we got that.
No, we got the talking to when all the S hit the fan. See, to me, that would be usable.
Do you mean
usable.
When the nipple hit the camera? Mm.
Right.
That was that.
When the nipple hit the camera, and then Clear Channel started firing everybody, and all Howard Stern stuff crept up, and we knew a lot of guys in the industry that got fired. Then we got the call that said, look, I don't know what it is, but be careful. And Drew took that as not speaking for the first 20 minutes of that show, I remember. Drew started the show. I was like, how are you, Doctor? Mm-hmm. Drew, you excited about tonight's show? Mm-hmm. What line do you want to go to? Mm-hmm. 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 He had to start tapping his foot.
One
hoof on that. Yeah. Like, I said, what line do you want to go to? And he'd go, okay, three? That's three. I couldn't see. Is that two or three taps? So I'm going to go three. That meant no. Yeah, Drew.
I was much more expressive with my grunt.
Drew literally did not talk for the first 20 minutes. And then the thing about it is we were ironically, this thing is comical. We were told, don't talk about this on the air. And I came in here with every intention not to talk about are talking to on the air. It's just when Drew refused to talk, about minute 23 of the show, I got angry and started screaming at him. And I said, I know you were told not to talk, and I know we were told that it doesn't mean, you know, we got to do a radio show at a certain point. So my feeling is I'll just do the radio show, and if we get thrown off, we get thrown off. Now, shut up, everyone, talk! That's right. That's what I was yelling. But, it was bad times. And there's no clearly defined guidelines.
Whoa, that's really.
That's what makes it really hard.
That's
we'd follow the guidelines if we had some.
Yeah,
but then that's like the FCC's doing it to himself at that point, though, right?
No.
Well, what do you mean doing it to themselves?
I mean they're making their job a lot harder. If they simply map out, you can't do this, you can't do that. Now here, go do your job.
Right.
It would make a job much easier because they wouldn't be calling and doing investigating, right?
Yeah. And by the way, when Jack says "cunt," it's borderline.
Yeah, it's nearly an FCC violation.
Yeah, it sounded a little like the C word there. But the point is, I have no idea. They don't have any idea either. And it's just that kind of ominous. We'll know it when we hear it.
Yeah.
So everyone just freaks out and has no idea what to do. And of course, for Drew, he figured, "Well, I want to save my job. I won't talk." Ultimately, Drew, I got to believe that strategy would come back to bite you in the ass just a little bit. Like probably like month number seven, if you're not talking on your radio show, eventually, probably not a lot to negotiate with when the contracts came up. You know what I mean?
You're right.
All right. Drew's back, though. He's over it.
Yeah? Yeah, I think so.
All right. And Lauren over here needs to stick with her sobriety. Stick with their program, stick with their sponsors, and not hang out and run with the same old crowd if they're putting drugs in front of them.
She has to do more than just go to me. She has to get a sponsor and has to work the steps. That is the critical piece of recovery.
Yeah, but you really got to be, you know.
Ready.
Ready.
Ready to work.
Ready for a big change.
Speak to that a little more. What do you mean?
Well, I mean, it's the most unnatural thing for a drug addict or alcoholic to be without drugs or alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you're like, whoa, you know, you don't know who you are as a person. You don't know what's going to set you off, what's not. And it's a hard thing to deal with just at first. Mm-hmm. And it's something you have to kind of grow with and understand. And it's like basically you're you know, reborn again over however many months it takes you to really feel comfortable.
How long for you into your sobriety before, I don't know, the cravings went away or you felt like you weren't fighting it?
I still get cravings, but I just know what to do now. You know, I know to take a minute and just kind of, you know, all right, just relax and take a breath. But it's just, it took about 5 months to be comfortable enough to start going to see bands play again and going out and being a more social kind of gathering.
Right.
But it's like I'll never go out unless I know that. In fact, I'm meeting people from the program somewhere, or, you know, or unless I have people with me. I never go solo.
Yeah, that's the other thing, too, and that's smart not to put yourself into that position. I'm the same way with the Playboy channel.
What most
I'm like, no, well, you're not going to watch that tonight.
You'll notice. This is the perfect example.
I always do.
Yeah, well, this is a perfect example. If you expose yourself.
It calls me.
You're thinking.
I'm watching Discovery, and it's like I hear it. Well, Adam, stay away. This is me, the Playboy. We're feeling lonely. No, I'm watching World at War. Leave me alone. But Adam, we're here. You're already paid for us. Come look at me. Some Jenna Jameson retrospective is on. You know, Jenna was a genie the other night. It was Jenna the genie. Come on,
Adam. I saw that one.
Yeah.
I saw that.
It was last night. I was like, no, I'm watching. Oh, please, you're going to watch Germany invade Poland for the 500th time this week?
Wait, you watch those too?
That's all I watch too, yeah.
You and my dad?
Your dad does is watch.
I know your mom told us this. We want to go watch History Channel with him.
Yeah, you, me, and my dad should all sit down, have a good manly bonding session.
I love History Channel too.
Drew could go too.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, but Drew, you'd have.
I like some of the more ancient stuff too. You guys aren't quite into that.
No, I was watching the Barbarian.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
True, but I'd see you as sort of the nacho mule. Like, we'd be like, hey, Drew, we're out of nachos. And you're like, it's going to be up in a minute, fellas.
I'll be the check.
And then we do that thing where you bring the nachos and you're in your apron and stuff and you set it down, but you've blocked the TV. We're like, and you feel real bad.
Start throwing chips at me.
Yeah, but you go back.
This is when the nuke's going to drop and you're in the way.
Yeah, and I'd be like, hello, Jack's on the wagon, but the Ace Man's daiquiri is dried up. How about a top off, princess?
And you know that they're going to have a great big flat screen there.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, they got like at least a 50-inch plasma sitting in there.
I have my own place, me and a buddy.
You got your own place.
Yeah, me and buddies have it. I just went and bought a 42-inch plasma.
Ooh. Smart.
Yeah. Panasonic. It's nice.
Yeah, we could watch that. We'll go over to Jack's place. Get Ozzy on the speakerphone.
I'm in.
All right. Let's.
What are we talking about?
I don't know what we're talking about. Well, here's my point. Yeah. What's your point,
I don't remember.
All right. Must not have been very important.
Who are we talking to? Where are
Lauren,
we?
Drugs, we're done. Alcohol.
Listen, none of you. Everyone, stop doing drugs. Unless you can handle it like me. Katie?
Hello?
You're 16?
Correct.
You got a bi boyfriend?
Whoa.
No. I'm bi.
You're bi.
She's bi.
Yeah, I'm
bi. All right.
And, I'm not really attracted to guys that much, but when I am, they're older, like 5 years older. So, I'm into the guys in their 20s, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, everyone I've been attracted to, regardless of their gender,
their janitor.
Janitor. Yeah. All right.
What's horribly? Like, they smack you around? Or?
One of them used to.
Uh-oh. One of your boyfriends?
Girlfriend, actually.
Girlfriend?
And,
hold on.
Nice twist.
Now I'm being beckoned again. Hello.
And my last girlfriend.
I know what I was going to say. Is that the impulse is somebody who's trying not to do something is to think to themselves, well, I can withstand that Playboy channel. I can go into that bar. I can control it. No problem. Watch. Here I go.
Yeah.
And you can only do that for so long. Eventually, the Jenna Jameson genie video.
That's right. How about your impulse not to cut off our precious caller?
It was so exciting.
Why don't you control that one? Katie?
Yes.
Sorry, baby doll. I'm sorry for my partner. Okay, so you're chaotic. You're bisexual. You're with guys that are too old. They're oftentimes abusive. We would predict that you had a little trouble at home.
Yeah, my parents are kind of angry, but, you know, they love me. They try to raise me to be, you know, a respectable member of society and stuff like that. And I really admire them for that. But, you know, sometimes things can get a little chaotic at home.
Well, were you ever physically abused?
No.
Sexually abused?
Yes.
When?
I was 14.
Who did this?
A
couple guys. One of, they went to my school, but one of them got expelled for truancy reasons, and the other still goes to my school.
And what about before this?
Before, nothing. No sexual abuse, but I was beat up a lot by, other kids in my elementary school.
Wow.
Really?
That's a new twist.
Why?
Oh, I don't know. I was pretty much not, you know, I was a social outcast and stuff.
Yeah, but usually
kids
the
are so mean.
Yeah, but usually the pre-pubertal kids don't do that kind of thing.
Yeah, they're cruel, but they don't beat you up. Yeah.
Well, where do you live?
I live in Minnesota.
Uh-huh.
Do you live in, like, a part of town?
Yeah.
What?
Do you live in, like, kind of a, like, a rough neighborhood?
Not too rough. I mean, like, I live, like, real close to Minneapolis.
South side of St. Paul.
There's a lot of violent
crimes. Wrong side of the tracks, yeah.
There's a lot of violent crimes in Minneapolis-St. Paul area.
All right, but look, you were in the fourth grade.
Yeah.
You weren't going to school with gangbangers, were you?
No, of course not.
All right, and I don't understand why no one put a stop to you being beat up constantly.
I don't know. I don't know. The school district around here is kind of weird.
Oh, wait, blah, blah, blah.
No,
it just doesn't all fit together.
No, it doesn't. But anyway, Katie.
Yes.
I don't know. You're living at home.
Correct.
Are you in school?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You're
What's your question?
Yeah.
Well, my question is, you know, like, I don't really understand why exactly I'm attracted to the people that I am. Like, if it's the sexual abuse, which doesn't really make much sense because, like, you know, I was, like, attracted to these people before it actually happened, so...
But we suspect that some form of sexual abuse happened before the rape at 14. As a result of there's some sort of real serious chaos or inappropriate sexual exposure. Do you see a lot of pornography when you're growing up or something?
No.
Or was your dad inappropriate?
That could be the problem.
Yeah, that's right.
Not enough pornography. No. That's what happened to me.
My dad wanted
to see porn. I was denied.
That's great.
Hmm.
Something
right,
happened.
Well, maybe just a bad apple, Katie.
Okay.
All right. See, when something sort of set your template. Somebody set the basically what people do is they're traumatized in childhood and they go into their adult life and that becomes the source of attraction. Things that were traumatizing you in childhood are sources of attraction in young adulthood and adolescence, and you sort of basically end up reenacting your traumas.
All right, but what
you're
about
attracted to those things?
What about this? And I don't want to be Pollyanna over here, but I don't know. Like when I was young, I didn't think about drinking coffee because it's just something older people did.
Yeah,
I'm sure I would have liked it, put enough cream and sugar in it. But, you know, it just wasn't on the menu. There's
right.
a lot of stuff that's not on the menu. You're 16. The whole bisexuality, dating guys in their 20s, shouldn't be on your menu.
Mm-hmm.
And, all right, your parents love you, come from a decent environment. There was no
and
wholesale
cool
abuse. Then stop
years.
It.
Yeah.
So focus on your grades
a
little
bit. It is
bit.
Possible this is still a post-traumatic stress reaction from the rape. Because people will do strange things like that.
All right.
They will reenact traumas after a rape.
But also, I think everyone would like to do a lot of things.
Yeah.
They just sort of realize, look, I'm too young. I need to finish my, education and go off to college or do whatever, and I'm not going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, here's what I'm saying. We've been running into this, like, look, if you feel like doing something, well, there must be a reason you feel like doing it. A, where no one is going to condemn you for doing it, mm-hmm. and then B, well, society, your family, or whatever, the powers that be, television, have made you do this, and then no one's ever really jumping in and saying, hey, stop it.
Yeah, right.
Like, stop doing, even if you're compulsed or compelled to do something, don't do it.
But the difficult thing, what's also never spoken of, though, is once you have a motivational priority, that is to say, just the way you want to eat or survive, that kind of a priority is set in your brain. It's very difficult to change it.
That's true.
And no one really gives any advice on how to do that. It's just
well,
a bunch of platitudes about making
you
change.
You start watching
and deciding
Dr.
to
Phil.
Change. Yeah,
Dr.
well, they'll just
Dr.
decide.
Phil.
They'll just tell you to decide to change. Just make a decision.
Yeah.
Jack, did you make a decision? Is that how that worked? Just to decide not to use? I've yet to find that patient that can just decide not to use.
Yeah.
I have a buddy who just decided not to use anymore.
Not a drug addict then.
He still drinks though.
Mm.
You think?
Mm. He's doing something else. Taking some prescription stuff probably too.
Mm-hmm.
That's usually how people decide not to use. They decide with a little help of their doctor or somebody to help them with their anxiety or their mood, and they keep stringing things along with that for a while.
You keep an eye on that one, Jack. I don't want you hanging with him. As soon as the street lights come on, you guys go separate ways. You understand?
And by the way, earlier in the disease,
I want you hanging out with him at night.
The gas lights.
You hear me?
The street lights.
Street lights, fire up. You head home, he heads home.
Okay,
but early in people's disease, they can use their volition, they can use will. I mean, before things spiral up,
before
the motivational systems get going, people can kind of see a trouble emerging, go, okay, I'm going to cut, I'm not going to use, and then it will sort of pick back up again eventually.
Let's talk to Brian, who has a Germany or Florida.
Yeah, hi.
Yeah, hey, what's up?
Okay, got a good Germany or Florida for you.
Floridians are crazy. It seems Germans are too. When it comes to effed up BS, there's nothing they won't do. So ask away. It's time to play. Don't say I didn't warn ya. It's Adam Carolla's favorite game, Germany or Florida.
Yeah. All right, very important. I believe this is Jack's first round of Germany or Florida. Just listen closely, Jack.
Okay.
Go ahead, Brian.
Okay. A woman drove around for days with her mother's decomposing body in the passenger seat of her car. Police found the woman's body in the car parked outside a department store after shoppers complained about an odor in the parking lot.
Some people do anything to capitalize on that diamond lane.
It's definitely Florida.
It feels like Florida.
Yeah. That's Florida.
Well, now, let's hear it out, because maybe she's wearing a Prussian helmet or something.
The medical examiner ruled the 65-year-old woman had died of natural causes at least 5 days earlier. The woman's daughter in her mid-30s was shopping inside the store. She was incoherent and unable to give a clear account of what happened. Germany or Florida?
All right.
She was incoherent, but could she be shopping? That's weird.
She'd be shopping. Well, woman can shop a couple hours after they're dead.
Yes,
many women. You know, chicken run around with its head cut off.
Women will shop. You die, your hair grows, your fingernail grows.
Yeah, one can continue shopping.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know my mom at least could.
She could. And I suspect I'm going to squeeze one off after I'm dead.
Yeah, there's no doubt
one
about
or two.
That. Yeah, yeah.
Because I'm not going to lie on my back that long without something happening.
Yeah, even dead, yeah.
Yeah. All right, Germany or Florida?
Why do you say not Germany?
I feel like that's a very, very American thing to do.
Really?
Insane.
Yeah.
That
true.
Seems like a very Florida thing to do.
It does.
Because
it does.
Of the level of denial and stuff.
And plus they said mall, shopping center.
Okay, mm-hmm. I'll give you that, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Also
driving.
Mm-hmm. And decomposing.
Yeah,
I believe a body would last longer
in Germany
on the Autobahn than it would out in the Everglades.
And think about how cold it is. It's still pretty cold over in Germany right now.
So
it
she
is.
Would have not stunk. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, Florida.
Yeah, cause for me it was about the
I was thinking Germany, but I'm going. I've been persuaded.
Okay. Well, Drew, you want to go Germany?
No, I'm going Florida.
You know, it's a better game if one of us picks the other one.
What are you doing?
If you're agreeing with everyone all the time. I'm thinking Florida, too.
All right. So you're always right.
So. Go Germany.
All right, Germany.
Drew goes Germany. Jack goes Florida. The ace man goes for Florida. And the answer is, Brian.
And the answer is Florida.
Yeah, true, you idiot. Oh, man, you suck at this game. Thanks, Brian.
You're welcome.
That was a wonderful Germany or Florida.
That was a good one.
All right.
You ever read the Darwin Awards?
Yeah. Well, no, I've never read it because I believe reading poisons to mind, but I have heard of the Darwin Awards.
They're the greatest books ever. You would love it.
Are they books?
They're books. You can go to the bookstore and you can go get the Darwin Awards. There's four of them now.
Have you ever seen that, Drew?
I've heard of it. I've not seen it.
Oh, they're so cool.
What's your best one? I like it when the guys go out to the salt flats and try to set land speed records by, taking sparrows or Sidewinder missiles and, hooking them up to radio flyer wagons and stuff and actually, not figuring out a way to slow down and that kind of stuff.
There was one that was really, really interesting to me. A guy decided to commit suicide, and he wanted to do it right because he read things about people shooting themselves in the head, surviving, people hanging themselves with their necks just break, and they're crippled, and just all these really morbid things. So he goes to a cliff, ties a rope to the end of his car, and he is going to jump, swallow poison, and shoot himself in the head.
And had the ropes around his neck.
And around his neck.
Wow.
So he jumps.
Yeah.
Shoots the bullet. Slices the rope.
Sure.
He bites down the poison, falls down to the ocean, swallows a whole bunch of water, which apparently flushes the poison through him.
Mm-hmm.
And he later died of hypothermia like 14 hours later.
Really?
Just floating around.
Just floating around in the ocean.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a bad, slow death.
Yeesh.
Yeah. But, ultimately, he's dead. He was able to achieve that.
But I wonder at what point was he like... I just can't do this anymore.
I made a bad idea.
Yeah, I made a real bad idea.
Well, that's the whole thing. Whenever they interview these guys, and I saw a show where the guys that jumped off the Golden Gate Bridge and lived. A lot of people commit suicide by jumping off the Golden Gate Bridge. Very small percentage of them actually live for one reason or another.
That was on Discovery, or History, one of them.
History must be History.
That's when the Playboy's like, come on, Adam, I'm so lonely. I miss
so
you.
What
you're
are they
so hot.
And what did they say?
You're hot when you're watching those Nazis and those people killing themselves, but I miss you. All right. It was beckoning me.
I know.
What it is everybody evidently who lived, who jumps off the bridge, their first thought is, what am I doing? Like, as soon as they get airborne, it's like, why did I do this?
Yeah.
And it makes me think that it's not just a coincidence. They didn't do anything to live. They just happened to
live. Well, you know what it is.
In
the face of that kind of an extreme situation, your neurochemicals start firing up.
Yeah.
And your depression lifts. And all of a sudden, it's like, whoa.
You got a burst of adrenaline.
I don't feel so bad anymore. What am I doing?
Yeah, well, the unfortunate part of killing yourself by jumping off something is when you're 3.5 feet away from whatever you jumped off of, you still have the full 30 stories to think about it. Your first thought is, this was a bad idea, which to me makes your final seconds on the planet that much worse.
Okay, but speaking of jumping, and since we're on a morbid thing, when the people were jumping off the towers, do you think they thought that, though?
Well, because they weren't trying to kill themselves. You mean the Twin Towers?
Yeah.
9/11. No. They were thinking this. They knew this sucked all the way down. Yeah, this was just, that's another
it's
one of those things, like,
falling.
I don't want to burn. Yeah. I'm jump. Yeah, somebody start burning you, you'd jump off anything.
Yeah.
Very sad. But thanks for bringing that up, Jeff. All right, everybody. Hey, New York Minute's the name of the movie. It's got the Olsen twins.
Feel good film.
Jack's going to recreate his whole 9/11 soliloquy. It's fantastic. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, yo, Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Jack Osborne, Ramblin' Man. He's like, he's a video over Blockbuster. You can rent, but you can't own. You got to return. You know what I'm saying, ladies? You drop Jack in the overnight deposit box. Hmm. That's right. He's a rambling man. He rambles at, like we're talking about, between noon and 2, rambling time.
Yeah.
So, yeah. About the time you'll be eating lunch, you'll be rolling out of bed and getting into his rambling boots and rambling.
I'll leave a rose on the pillow with a note.
That's right. It's rambling time.
I hope you understand.
Yeah, he's born a rambling man. His dad was a rambler. I'm guessing his grandfather did some rambling before that.
Actually, I don't know. I really.
Do you think your
granddad was a working stiff? Right?
Yeah, my granddad was a laboring man.
Yeah, but so he didn't. It's hard to ramble. Here's when you gotta ramble. You gotta have a truck. You gotta have some boots, and you gotta have a little bit of pocket change.
Yeah, that's the thing. He didn't have a truck. You think he had some boots with some holes in it.
What did he do? Is your grandpa still around?
No, my grandpa died in, like, maybe 81.
Mm. And he was, like, a miner or something? What did he do?
He worked in a steel factory, I believe.
In England?
Yeah. I think they made, and during the war, he made weapons and shells and stuff.
Oh.
And I think after the war, he made, like, tools.
Wow. Hmm. And that's your dad's dad.
Mm-hmm.
And then your mom's dad was a record guy, right?
Yeah, he was like a big record.
But what did he do before that?
Before that, he was the Jewish Elvis.
Oh, he was?
Mm-hmm. He was considered the Jewish Elvis.
In England again?
No, what happened was, after the war, he was in his early 20s, he started traveling to all the hospitals where all, like, you know, the victims of the Holocaust were at, and doing a lot of USO things, and he became known in Europe as the Jewish Elvis. He was huge.
Wow. And did he do, like, a blue suede yarmulke? I mean, actually, was he doing, you know, wasn't it?
I don't, to be honest with you, I think it was kind of a mix of things. Like, he did sing a whole bunch of old Yiddish songs.
And he was the Jewish Elvis before Elvis was Elvis then, right?
I think, well...
Oy vey rock.
I think
well,
so.
Well, I mean, because he had to be, because...
Well, no, Elvis was around the 50s.
Right.
And this was like, this has been in the 50s.
Oh, all right. So Elvis was known as the Jewish Elvis. All right. It's good times. Wow. Hey, you know, I'll tell you, there's nothing Holocaust survivors love more than the guy showing up in a, crushed velvet jumpsuit, doing a little hound dog for him while they're, trying to get their emaciated bodies back into shape. You know, that's... It's good times.
You don't think there were complaints about the incidental reference to the Holocaust? This one should upset people duly.
Yeah.
We apologize for Adam's cruel illusions.
No, I'm just saying. It's
you're
not,
just saying.
Not the
saying.
Top of your list. You probably. You, I mean, plate spinner, that's something else. You know what I mean? That's the guy's moving.
Favorite
ass. Yeah. Yeah. It'll be weird to do a plate spinner with some really slow music, because that's a taller order. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's something out of like Swan Lake or something, right?
Yeah, just something very long and maybe sobering and sort of drawn out, you know, and yeah. Then spinning planes. Someone's got to bring that back, Drew. Let's talk to Terry, who's 26. Terry?
Hi.
What's up?
I was calling to ask a question. I have a problem with squirting when I orgasm.
Mm-hmm.
And
Jack has a problem, too.
Why is that a problem?
Well, I heard that when a woman does that, that it's urine, and it scares me, and I hold it back now.
Well, there can be urinary incontinence with orgasm, but most women it's not. It's more sort of an ejaculate.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, what do you? I smelled it, and it doesn't smell like urine at all. It's like a clear fluid.
Yeah, it probably mm-hmm. isn't. Probably okay. isn't.
But you would kind of know, right?
Yeah, you could always take some asparagus and test yourself out.
Yeah. You ever do the asparagus thing?
What is that?
Boy, Drew, I'm really amazed at the people. I haven't done the urine math with the asparagus, which is you eat some asparagus and your urine, Drew, please.
Quickly. Very quickly, it turns to hell.
Yeah, Drew.
Old
Drew,
strong ammonia
Drew knows.
At that point.
Wait, what's the statistics of women who have that?
The squirting?
Yeah.
It's pretty unusual, but some women just do it all the time, and some women do it some of the time. It's probably less than 10%, would you say, Adam?
Yeah, but and, Jack, I'm sure if you haven't run into it yet, being a rambling man, you'll find it on your travels at some point. That's part of being a rambling man. You sample the buffet of life. Hey, yeah, Terry. So listen, I'm telling you, do you like asparagus?
Not really.
Well, take some vitamins then.
I understand. No, just shut up. By the way, asparagus. It's one of the best vegetables. It really is.
I enjoy it. I had a great asparagus dish last night.
Really? Yeah. How was the urine?
You know what? This morning, because I'm really dehydrated in my room because the air conditioning's off.
Sure.
It was fine.
Good urine?
Yeah. It was pretty crystally.
Okay. Because I got to tell you, Drew, I do the urine.
Adam knocks about it. Adam two surprise attacks on me because he's always farting doing stuff that, of course, the old fashioned.
We go to the bathroom together.
Yeah, old fashioned ways to upset me, but the two surprise attacks are one is the garlic burp.
I let a lamby, garlicky
which
belch
I'm convinced
go in the
is
hall.
I crapped himself. I'm convinced.
Drew said, "What did you do? S in your pants?" I was walking in front of him in the hall. I don't know why. And yeah, I've had this happen to me a few times. There's something more egregious about a bad belch than there is about a fart.
You know what? Vomit and fart together.
You know what? Last night I was hanging out with my friend, and we were watching Sopranos, and I was talking to her, and didn't realize, like, I burped, and I just kept going, and she's like, "Did you just burp?"
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, "Yeah." She's like, "Don't do that again." And I was like,
wow.
I just totally didn't realize.
Well, it's
a super friend.
But how about me and Jack being separated at birth? I eat asparagus, he eats asparagus,
well, that
I let the belch fly.
Yeah.
Probably about the same time last night let the belch fly, you know?
There's a synergy
about 10:20,
here.
Yeah.
But you watch Nazis get shot, I do.
Wait, it's a body.
But then the other way again is at the urinal. He'll just blow me out of the bathroom
with the asparagus.
With the old strong ammonia pee.
Yeah, wow. Now see, here's the thing. You eat the asparagus, and the more raw
Adam eats
you eat it.
A bushel.
And if you eat it raw, forget it. But if you just sort of poach it,
steam it a little bit,
still fine. Eat a few stalks of that. About a half hour, 45 minutes later, the urine is pungent and crazy.
It's pretty
crazy smelling.
Hey, Adam, have you got into any of the Second World War video games? Have you delved into that yet?
No. I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why. Because
he'll never emerge.
No. I'll tell you why. I bought that one where the Pearl Harbor one.
Mm-hmm.
And, Drew, have you seen this?
No.
They're running great commercials. The guy was, the commercial was like about 6 months old. The guy was swimming in like beautiful Caribbean waters and is looking at fish and everything.
It's a
all
video
of a sudden,
game?
Yeah. All of a sudden, he pops his head out of the water and there's bullets flying everywhere. Well, the guy jumped off a burning ship at the Pearl Harbor.
Wow.
But the point is, here's what I understand. I've got one of those video games, and the guy said, my buddy said, get a memory card. And I said, what do you do with the memory card? And he's like, well, that way you can keep playing from this point. And I was like, well, I don't need a memory card. And I got the game. Now, the game doesn't start with you shooting Japs. This game starts with you sleeping in a bunk, and then a bomb hits your ship, and then I can't get out. Yeah. And then it keeps starting over. Don't watch that word. Watch that word, Jack.
Which word?
He said the C word, I think.
I said Kant.
He made fun of me.
Immanuel Kant.
That's what they say when they make fun of you.
Okay, the critique of pure reason, Immanuel Kant.
The point is, yeah, nobody got that. Here's the point. I can't get out of the bottom of the damn ship, and I can't move forward with the game. And they don't tell you. Like, I want to just man a 50 caliber and start shooting some zeros. I can't get to it.
Once you get out, you got to follow your little map thing.
I can't get out.
Well, once you get out, the first thing you do is you mount that 50 cal and you just go to town.
You start shooting zeros.
Yeah, you do.
Okay, I can't get out of the ship, and then my friend who's sitting there kept yelling at me. See, I totally get the memory card, and I start yelling at him, but I can't get out of the bottom of the ship, and I keep running around, and I can't get out.
I just got this one, and
you need to get the cheat book. The cheat
book.
Yeah.
The cheat book. Yeah. What? They can't make anything where you just get up to the deck of the damn ship? Yeah. The commercials, the guy's outside. I'm locked in my bunk. I played it for 2 hours. I got frustrated. I put it away. That was a year ago. I haven't touched it since. I'll never get out of the ship. This is my life.
Is it a computer game or PlayStation?
It's like PlayStation. Where's the wuss button that just gets you out? I just want the thing where I'm shooting. Bypass. I want to shoot. All right. Everything's such a challenge. I just want to shoot some zeros. Is that too much to ask?
I'll give you my memory card so you can just put it in and play.
Right. That's what I got to do. I got to get the 50 caliber, and I got to shoot those zeros that are coming in trying to bomb a torpedo bomber. Yes, Drew?
Perfect.
All right. Jack Osborne here. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Jack Osborne in the studio tonight. Got himself a joint coming out. It's with the Olsen twins. Drew's in that one, too. Jack plays like the band manager. Drew plays the dad. I've just been informed engineer Chris actually has a small role in the film as well. I'm feeling pretty bad about it now, Drew. The only one in the room is not... been in the Olsen film, Olsen
twins sequel.
Film. Yeah, I'll get you that.
That is a prequel. Yeah.
The movie's called New York Minute, yep. And it's coming out on Friday. And Drew, this poor guy's been on hold for 110 minutes because he wants to give us a compliment. We've been ignoring him. Richard?
Yeah.
You're 16.
Yeah.
What's up there, buddy?
All right. First off, I want to say, Adam and Drew, I think you guys are great. I've been listening to you for like the past 2 years. You guys are hilarious, and you give some good pointers. Adam, I love your commentary on life in general. I love it when you complain about the Hollywood Freeway.
Yeah.
And
good.
Stuff like
that's funny.
Jack, I think the Osbournes are great. Got seasons 1 and 2 on DVD. You guys are gods for being able to work with the Olsen twins. I can only dream about getting within 100 feet.
Isn't that interesting how that age just idolized
now,
them? Were you in that period? Were you really into them before you met them?
No, Jack's cool.
No, but I just...
I was like, yeah, they're pretty hot. I mean, they're really good-looking girls.
But you would still have to ramble after being with one of them.
You know what? I think I'd stay for dinner. I'd stay for dinner.
But eventually, rambling time... You know what I mean? He might ramble to another one and then ramble back again.
He's a rambling man, sort of Adam. He was born that way.
It'd be like a pong game, though, where he rambled maybe from that's Olsen how twin to Olsen twin, just back and forth. That's right.
Pong.
Yeah. That's called close proximity rambling. That's inner family rambling. That's where you ramble, you know, between sisters.
Mm-hmm. I had a buddy of mine. His dad married this woman who is like 2 years older than my buddy.
Mm-hmm.
And my friend was in his 20s.
Did he ramble on her?
She rambled on him.
Wow.
She did the family ramble.
Wow. And did dad ever find out?
Yeah.
Oh, good times.
That's uncomfortable.
I don't know what happened. He just kind of left it. Yeah, my dad found out.
But it takes all kinds.
It really does. Hey, Richard?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right. You cool?
Hold on. I actually had a question that I haven't asked yet. I was wondering about Loveline itself, if maybe Loveline ever plans to maybe release a CD about, like, Loveline's weirdest calls or Loveline's funniest moments, because I think that actually, if you were to release something like that, it might be able to sell quite a few.
It would make perfect sense to do something
like that. It would make sense. Here's the problem.
We'd be interested in it, but...
Well, here's the thing.
It won't happen.
Our self-esteem is low and we're lazy.
No. And well, yeah. CBS owns this and is not interested in doing it.
Well, not now. Why? You ever checked into it?
We remember we even tried to write a book where we put excerpt some calls. Remember that? We were not allowed to.
I know, but we've never checked in any best of or anything like that.
I had a conversation recently with Ann about this. They don't keep tapes. It's against policy to have tapes of the show. So they can't keep tapes.
They can't keep
it's
tapes?
It's something to do, yeah.
Something to do with 50 cents every other week?
No, I think it has more to do with liabilities and things like that if stuff is, if there's a record made.
What about the time the LAPD wanted to sue me and got them out the tape lickety-split? What about that time?
That may have been where the policy changed.
All right.
Wait, LAPD wanted to sue you?
Tell a story.
Heidi Fleiss came on the show, started talking a little smack about some of the arresting officers in her case. As I'm prone to do, I got on the bandwagon and actually just said, move over, and started screaming at them for Heidi. I didn't even know what the situation was. I just didn't like the idea. Here's what I don't like. And thank God I can't get sued now because I don't remember anyone's name. But here's the deal. They basically posed as Japanese businessmen for 6 months. And, you know, here's the thing. The guys were banging the girls and doing the whole thing.
They were?
Yeah, they were swinging. They were swinging with the chicks, as far as
right
now.
Really?
Well, yeah, you listen. You got to do a little something. I don't know if they had
I remember you talking about the lead investigator mincing around in a fistful of chiffon.
I was speculating that he may have been gay, but here's the point. Here's what we want you cops to do. Get out there and bust the bad guys. I don't care about Heidi Fleiss throwing a party for some businessmen up in her Mulholland estate. That's her business. You want to bust her for tax evasion, fine. But we don't need the task force.
See, she gave back. She gave back to the community.
That's what I feel like. This is what you call consensual crime. And by the way, you guys made it illegal. God didn't. God gave man a boner and a wallet. An ATM sometimes, too, although I'm not
it's
sure if God
profession.
Did that.
It's the oldest profession. They were around before cops.
Absolutely. That's probably why cops were invented. Here's my point. Well, I don't need you guys all banding together and wasting a bunch of our taxpayer money. You get out on the street and stop them gangbangers.
Crack dealers.
That's right. Stop the guys from dealing the dope to the kiddies and the nuns. Yes.
Dealing dopes to the nuns.
To the nuns. Yeah.
That's a common population I treat, the non-population.
Yeah, and here's what we don't want you. We don't want you writing the chicken-ass tickets for rolling through the four-way stop sign or the guy who's going 67 in the 65. We don't need any of that. And as far as the guys, as far as the vice stuff goes, leave it alone. You just get busy bringing down the perps and the gangbangers. You know what I'm saying?
Good times.
All right, so anyway, I went on a little tirade about it. Somebody was listening. They called the show, called Ann the next day, and they said, listen, we're from the LAPD. We're going to need the tape of last night's show. And Ann said, here you go. Now, we would be able to get the tape that fast, by the way.
No.
All right. So, anyway, best of, Drew's lazy, I'm lazy, and we're the only fans of the show. See, that's the point. No one else really likes the show but us, and we're lazy. So it's a horrible combination. But, yeah, it seems like somebody could make it, do a little best of, make a little CD and make some money.
I like the show.
Thanks. You'd buy one, right?
Yeah, I'd buy one.
Jack and produce for us.
We do want to give it to charity.
We can get Roxy on it, too.
How about giving the money to charity or something like that?
That'd be great. Yeah.
All right, it's never not going to happen.
Let Jack produce it.
Tiffany?
Yep.
Drew, why don't you do something? I've been dragging your corpse around for 9 years. How about you get off your ass and do something?
Yes, sir.
All right.
It's a deal.
All right, Drew. Why are we in the studio?
Because you pitched a fit.
Yeah. Why do we get a security guard?
Because you pitched a fit.
That's right. The only way this would ever happen is if I did it. That's the only way it would ever happen.
I'll try. Let's see.
Why don't you do it?
I'll try. We'll see what happens. Well, let's see if you're right. That's the only way if you can do it.
Never gonna happen. All right, go ahead, Tiffany.
My husband is really quick during sex, and I'm wondering if that's normal.
No.
How quick is quick?
Well, sometimes it's 2 minutes, sometimes three.
How about if he goes for another round?
The second time, it is longer. Second time, you know, we're talking more like 10 minutes. But he used to go for longer than that the first time when we were first married.
Well, why does it matter to you which time? I mean, if he does have a second round in him, isn't all the same to you?
Maybe
well, the
she
second
can...
round is usually like 45 minutes later, and we work opposite schedules. I get home at about 1 in the morning. So, and, you know, I get up with the kids at about 6 or 7 whenever they get up.
He needs then to masturbate beforehand. So
yeah.
He timed it so that 45-minute period has gone by. And
yeah.
There you go.
He needs to have his first round while he's in the dressing room, you know, before he gets out, makes it
the
in
green
the
room,
ring,
the green room. Yeah,
yeah. I'm just thinking, as long as we're sticking with the boxy, okay. He needs to get his first round in the
get
in
him
the training
some Zoloft.
Yeah, okay. The antidepressants really? Will delay him a little bit, but also okay. Knock down his sex drive a bit. So.
Can you pop the Zoloft? Like, can you use like something like Zoloft is like the opposite of using like Viagra?
It's
I mean,
great.
You pop it that afternoon for that evening, or.
I
got to have to be on, kind of be on it.
Regularly, yeah.
Yeah.
Regularly.
You got to be on it.
Yeah.
So if I've just had one at noon and I was going to make whoopee, as we call it,
yeah.
at 8 o'clock at night, it wouldn't work?
No. I mean, it might do something, but it's not how it's designed to be used.
Mm.
Meant to be used.
You know what, Tom, I'm trying to bring back? Getting weird.
Getting weird?
Mm-hmm.
For sex?
Yeah.
That's good.
Weird.
Weird?
Weird.
Yeah. Getting weird?
Yeah, you got to say it like that.
All right.
You can't say it the other way.
Oh, Drew. Watch what you say to me. All right, let's take ourselves a little break. Jack Osborne here tonight. We'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. Well, that's the show. I want to thank the guest that showed up tonight. His name, Jack Osborne. Clean and sober Jack Osborne, not the perpetually effed up junkie known as Andy Richter. Yes, Drew?
Yes, Adam.
If he can scrape it together long enough to drag his intoxicated body in here on Sunday, we'll give him a little bit of an intervention. Yes?
Yes, he needs it.
Yeah. You guys need help, you know.
I'm very concerned.
We'll call you for backup.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can bring the big guns.
Jack can be seen starting this Friday in New York Minute. Him and Drew and Mary Kate and Ashley Olson, yeah? All right.
It's exciting. Well,
Jack, always good to see you.
And you guys.
Give our love to the family.
I will.
And until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo. Andy,
hi,
are you there?
Yeah. I'm here and I'm retarded.
What happened, buddy?
Get this. I forgot.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.